views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some really groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership helping us understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. And based on that, I am really excited to tell you about today's guest. We have Cynthia Forstman with us, and she is the founder, one of the co-founders of Culture Talk. And let me tell you a little bit about Cynthia. As a founding partner, Cynthia has helped organizations design cultures, brands, and communication programs that are driven from a place of authenticity and deep awareness. She has a background in psychology that really led to her fascination with Carl Jung's archetypes in organizational culture and brands. And she even studied with the Jungian researcher Carol Pearson, PhD, and architected the framework for her firm's tools, trainings, and engagements. In addition to that, Cynthia facilitates strategic focus groups with executives, boards, marketing, HR directors, and other leaders who share a stake in the culture and communications of any group. She has also led award-winning rebranding projects and designed strategic communication and team-building programs to recruit, retain, and engage top talent. Known for her warmth and humor, Cynthia speaks to diverse audiences about the power of story in creating culture, inspiring purpose, and enhancing fulfillment. Welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, Claudette. Good to be here.
It's great to be here. I've been really looking forward to this show. And really excited about our topic today, which is glass box brands, right? How do we connect culture and brand with archetypes?
Interesting.
So I thought a great place to start would be to have you share with us, when we talk about glass box brands, what do we mean?
Glass box brands is actually a term that I wish I could take ownership of because it makes so much sense to me. Mm-hmm. But it actually, I need to credit a gentleman by the name of David Matteen. I saw an article that he published on Medium over the summer that is titled, "Your Internal Culture is Your Brand." And I connected really quickly with his topic because it's something that we've been talking about in our business for many years. It's kind of like, if we're going to brand a company, an organization, a team, even an individual, we really need to understand on a deep level what that person or company is all about. And David Matteen, he's a global trend watcher, and he was looking specifically, he wrote the article after the Google Manifesto letter that came out. And what he was noting both, with Google, with Uber, with other brands that were sort of taking the heat publicly, is that, more and more today we can see inside of an organization. And so when we think about brand, we do have to look deeply inside the organization. He actually says, brands used to be sort of, branding used to be sort of a black box exercise where, you could decide what you wanted your brand to look like and sort of paint the outside of the box. But today, because the world is so transparent and we have access to so much information, your brand is more like a glass box that people can see inside all the way to your organizational culture.
Yeah, it's so different. People used to be able to have these external brands and then it didn't matter what was happening inside their companies, right? In terms of the culture.
Yeah. I've been in branding for a long time. And one of the things that I can always remember clients saying to me is, hey, just make me look good. You know, when it was kind of a joke in a way, like they want to have the appearance that there's a good, strong brand here. And there are ways to do that in ways that are very authentic. But, you know, today it's imperative that that is coming from a space of, you know, what is that internal culture?
Absolutely. And I think it's such a, it's a wonderful trend, isn't it? You know, to really be asking companies to think, make sure their insides and their outsides match.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think it can also be a relief because, you know, if you have a brand that isn't authentic and isn't really who you are, it's really hard to live up to that. So I think that while, you know, business leaders and CEOs might feel a little more vulnerable about, you know, having their weaknesses exposed, you know, there's also the flip side of that, which is, you know, you can be yourself. You just have to focus on that self, who you are in the organization, is really something worth being.
That's a great point. That self is something worth being. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things I think so many of us have heard about and read about, and it's been a hot topic over the past year or two, is organizational culture, right? And that some cultures are in crisis, and it really is starting, companies are starting to see that bottom line impact.
Yeah.
That was that transparency. You know, what do you attribute some of that to from your perspective?
Well, you know, I mean, you could think about different kind of trends that are sort of beginning to collide. We've got the trend of social media, and the rapid growth of social media platforms. I read recently that Facebook is actually going to be passing the 2 billion user mark later this year. You know, so people have access to these platforms where they can share information. That's sort of one trend. Another trend is we have this generation coming into the workforce that's actually, you know, the larger part of the workforce in the millennials that are super interested in working for organizations that are doing meaningful, purposeful things. So kind of a second trend. You know, we also have this whole thing of just access to news in a viral sort of way. I heard a speaker 2 weeks ago talking about sort of the future of work and the work environment. One of the things that she said that really stuck with me was, her name is Courtney Harrison. She said, you know, CEOs go to bed at night and they literally don't know what news they're going to wake up to, right? Like, the world might be really different when they wake up. And so, you know, it's this combination of people wanting things to be something they can believe in. And the fact that if they're not, how quickly that can turn and be virally spread. I think about like Uber, for example, in January of this year, in a single day, you know, the delete Uber hashtag that took off on Twitter, 200,000 Uber apps were deleted in a single day. That's just one example. Or I think about, you know, United CEO, Oscar Munoz, who, you know, initially sort of defended his employees and then turned around and apologized. But imagine waking up to the viral video of one of your passengers being dragged off the plane. And suddenly now as the CEO, I'm responsible for, you know, every activity that happens on every plane.
Wow. And what a change that is. Like you said, Courtney Harrison, who you heard speak, like, oh, your CEO goes to bed and doesn't know what he or she's going to wake up to, right?
Yeah, right.
Or the power to say, yeah, let's delete Uber apps. Okay, 20,000 people do it in a day. Yeah. Wow. Unprecedented, right. Yeah.
Right. And that's the way news spreads today. That's the way stories spread today. And that's, you know, in some way, there's so much power in the hands of employees.
Yeah.
and consumers and customers to kind of share what they're seeing and do it in ways that have a huge impact on brands. I'll give one more example, Wells Fargo. And they've got obviously an ongoing, you know, what we might call a culture crisis. And there's some stats that I found in Business Insider and Fortune magazine that since the scandal broke, they have had a 41% decrease in the number of checking accounts. And 45% decrease in the number of credit card applications. So they're taking a big hit for, you know, these perceived wrongdoings in the culture.
And it's interesting, too, that we, like you said, power in the hands of employees and consumers, right? And people are saying, in a way, like, this isn't okay. You can't do this. This isn't acceptable to us. And so you need to clean this up. And so accountability, in a way, companies maybe have never had before.
Right. And the accountability rolls all the way back up to that CEO. And we've seen a lot of these CEOs in the spotlight, on the Senate floor, in the news. And so I think that, you know, all of those kind of negative trends point to sort of the vulnerability that business leaders feel. And that's one of the reasons culture is becoming something that's so important for them to look at, because it's a glass box and we can see all the way inside.
Yeah, it is a glass box and we can see all the way inside, which is good news for most of us, right? And I think good news overall, good news overall for the business environment and for the people who say, you know, let's raise the bar here, right? Let's have something different than what we've been seeing. So, wow, on that fascinating note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to start talking a little bit more about what, you know, when we think about archetypes and culture and in companies, what do we really mean? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Don't you wish you had more joy in your life? Check out the new book by Robert Max Schoenfeld, For the Love of Joy. A 30-day adventure for creating joy in your life, because you deserve more joy, more love, more health, more abundance, and more life. Available now on Amazon. Get your copy today. Visit theartofpowerfulliving.com. That's theartofpowerfulliving.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself. You can't make decisions and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Hi, everybody. This is Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Cynthia Forstmann, and she is the co-founder of Culture Talk. And we have just been having a really, really interesting conversation about this concept of glass box brands, meaning that in today's world, a company's culture and brand are almost the same thing. We can see far into the organization, we can see far into the culture, and companies are really in these glass boxes. Cynthia, we're just talking about how that's changing the nature of how people are doing business, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think they're just becoming much more aware of their culture and how it is perceived out in the market.
Yeah, definitely. And I know one of the things you do at Culture Talk that I am so fascinated by is you work with companies to understand their cultural archetypes. What do we mean by that?
Yeah. So archetypes actually come out of Jungian psychology. Carl Jung was a psychiatrist who first postulated the ideas of archetypes. He was a contemporary of Freud's. And in his work, it was his belief that all human beings are guided by the same inner roadmap, mm-hmm. and that really we make sense of our own lives through a common set of beliefs and behaviors. And he taught that these psychological patterns have been with us since the very beginning of humanity. And we know this is true because we see these storylines, these archetypal storylines reflected across history and across cultures. And so we see them in art, we see them in literature, myths, religions. You're just as likely to see them in an Aboriginal tribe as you are to see them in today's movies and the big box office hits.
Mm-hmm.
So archetypes come from Carl Jung's work. And then more recently, a woman by the name of Carol Pearson, who you mentioned at the beginning, I studied with, it must be about 15 plus years ago. Carol Pearson is an organizational development expert who at the time was at Georgetown University and has gone on to several universities, most recently at Pacifica, which is a Jungian or Jungian University. And she really looked at Jung's work with archetypes. And what Carl would say is that, you know, archetypes exist in individuals as part of your personality, sort of the storylines you're living, but mm-hmm. they also live in the shared energy of a group. So mm-hmm. when a group comes together in an organization, what is that archetypal storyline that's being created? Carol Pearson, you know, has really built her career and her research around looking at archetypes in organizational culture. And I had a chance to be exposed to that in the early 2000s, and we built our work at Culture Talk and Allegory around those archetypes.
Mm, how fascinating. And I love this piece around that the archetypes live in the shared energy of the group.
Mm. Right.
And I find I'm sure you find this as well. Often organizations, that is something they are, unless they've done some work in this area, they're fairly blind to that there's even a shared energy in the group.
Yeah. You know, I find it this way. Well, first I'd say you could go into two organizations that are the same size, that are in the same industry, and have a very different experience in organization A versus organization B. And it's that experience of walking through the door and doing business with them that's some of what, you know, culture is. Like, what is that? How do we talk about that experience. It's hard to put words around those subtle differences. Mm-hmm. The other part I was going to say is when you're in a culture and you are working in a culture, it's hard to see sort of the backside. I always talk about like you can't look at your backside in a mirror. Mm-hmm. So when you're actually in a culture, it's a little bit hard for you to experience kind of or put words to it because you're in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really hard. It's hard to describe unless you've done some work with it, right? It's hard to bring it in light and talk about it. Or people will talk more about the things they can see, right, or observe the surface mm-hmm. level.
Yeah,
because it's easier, right? But it's hard to get into. Yeah, what's our archetype, or what are some of those underlying beliefs we're not even aware of, right? That are driving things. It becomes a little mysterious sometimes.
Well, and I know you probably experienced this in your culture work. A lot of times, people jump to sort of like the symptoms of culture or the art. Like, you know, here are the programs we have. Here are the employee benefits. Here's our cool office spaces. Mm-hmm. None of those things are about the culture. There are attempts to say we have a good culture or we're paying attention to culture when it's really all of those underlying things. One of my favorite current quotes about culture comes from the CEO at IDEO, and he says, culture is like the wind. it's invisible. You can't see it. But you can feel it and its effects. You can feel and see the effects of the wind, and in the mm-hmm. same way with culture. So I'll tie that back to why archetypes are stories. We use 12 of the Jungian stories. Just give you an example of a couple of them.
Great.
We use explorer. You know, is an organization? Does an organization have explorer archetype? And I'll test your knowledge, Claudette. Just like when you hear explorer, what do you think of as a storyline?
As a storyline, I think of someone who's maybe willing to go into uncharted territories, who's adventurous, maybe more of a risk taker, because mm-hmm. they'd be out in front, looking around, seeing what's going on and seeing what the opportunities are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If I, by contrast, asked you, you know, if the culture had a sageness to it, what would you guess about a sage archetypal culture?
I would guess that they're very sage. You know, they're smart, they're wise, that knowledge really matters to them. Mm-hmm. And they might base a lot of what they do based on what they know. They may be analytical.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you've just proven why archetypes help us in conversations about the culture in an organization is because these stories are stories that we recognize. Mm. And so, if you're doing a branding activity with an organization and you're just talking and you're using words that are like, well, we're innovative or we're smart, you know, it can go in so many different directions. But when we start to think about our organization through the lens of an archetype, or not even just one archetype, when we do branding with archetypes, we really look at, you know, your top two or three archetypal patterns, and we validate against those. So if an organization measured as an explorer sage, we would want to know, well, in what ways are they explorer? How is that archetype showing up in their processes, in their systems, in how they compensate people and how they reward performance and how they hire? Because what we're, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit to talking about what we measure, mm-hmm. Culture Talk, we've actually developed a survey instrument to measure organizational culture through the lens of archetype. So, what we're really measuring are the behaviors that are aligned with different archetypal storylines.
I love that. And you said such an important thing about we recognize the stories of archetypes, right? That based on the name of them, we can start mm-hmm. to figure out what this might mean. And when I was curious about when, let's say an organization you know, was, like you said, an explorer organization, right? Mm-hmm. And what if they really, like, is this something that can be changeable in the sense that what if for them to be successful, they can't be so explorer-like, they need a little, maybe they need a little sage, right?
Yeah.
Yes, something like that. I mean, is that something that you can help them shift? Or how does that work?
So it's a great question, and I'll make a couple of points. We use 12 archetypal framework at Culture Talk. And when we do an organizational culture assessment, we have everyone in a company take an online survey, and we can break it out by teams or departments or whatever. But the results of the survey are shared in terms of how did I score against each of these 12 archetypal patterns. So I can see the ones I scored high on. I can see the ones I scored low on. And really, sometimes it's the ones we score low on that are very telling, you know? So if I score really high on Explorer, let's say that you know, the rules at an Explorer organization might be very loose, right? Because we need to be free to explore and try new things. But maybe that's becoming a little bit of a hang up. And I'm going to jump back to Uber for a second. And we have an archetyped Uber, but, you know, they seem like Explorer kind of runs like the Wild West a little bit. There aren't a lot of structures in place. And those kind of things can hang up an organization that may need to amp up another archetypal behavior pattern. So you can, in looking at archetypes, you have the capacity for all 12 archetypes. Mm-hmm. You have sort of your favorite go-to patterns. And once you become aware of what archetypal patterns exist in your organization, you can plan around that. You can develop strategies to say, hey, we need less explorer and more sage or more ruler. How could we create, you know, how do we do that from a strategic standpoint, from a programming standpoint, and even from a branding standpoint?
Oh, wow. So, I mean, that's great. So this really sets the stage for an amazing conversation, it sounds like, in bringing awareness into organizations and what they really need. It's really, really fascinating to hear you talk about it. And I can hear the passion in your voice, right? Around really helping companies in this particular way. So we're going to take a quick break. For those of you just joining us, I'm Claudette Rowley, and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. And when we come back, we're going to start talking about, you know, how do we come up with a blueprint for folks who want to go down this particular path? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, did you know why they call the foundation the foundation? It's called the foundation because it completely eliminates your foundation for what you thought your reality was and creates a whole new space where you can have an entirely new reality that is foundationless. So from my point of view, they should call it the unfoundation or the foundationlessness. Either way, there's a big new global rewrite happening again because these guys cannot stop changing. There should be like a Change Anonymous that Gary and Dane go to. And it's happening April 28th to May 1st. You can find out about it at accessconsciousness.com/globalfoundation. It's happening in Paris. Go to Paris or do it online or find a pod near you. These are all the options you have. And what else is possible?
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Raging Skillet Radio, mouthing off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know
What's on your mind?
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Best-selling author, spiritual life, and business coach Joe Nunziata brings his higher energy and no-nonsense style to people who are ready to make powerful changes now. Wake up, step up, power up with a shot of Joe. Join Joe the second and fourth Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern for 30 minutes of high energy, no nonsense, and powerful tools to make powerful changes. Visit joenunz.com. That's joenunz.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Cynthia Forstman, who's the co-founder of Culture Talk. And we've been really having an interesting conversation about this idea of glass box brands. So Cynthia, one thing I wanted to ask is how should people get a hold of you if they think, wow, I'd love to learn more about your assessment and archetypes? How can they get in touch?
Great. Thank you. So culturetalk.com is the URL for our website, culturetalk.com. Or you could email me at cynthia@culturetalk.com. And I would be happy to talk to you about the work we're doing with archetypes, organizational culture, and branding.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for sharing that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things I love about your work is that it seems really unique in the landscape of what I'm seeing in culture work out there. So it's really, there's something here that you have that I think a lot of listeners, if you're interested, definitely check this out. So blueprints for brands, blueprints for culture, like how do you help organizations move forward with building consensus? How does that work?
Well, I'm going to jump back to the segment we just did, Claudette, when I asked you to describe what you thought maybe an explorer or a sage culture would, you know, what that story would look like. When we look at culture through the lens of archetypes and we can discover, you know, here are the three or four that are most resonant here in our culture that we really connect with, it becomes an incredible consensus building tool. So you can have a team of managers, department heads, leadership teams sitting around a table, and suddenly this thing called culture that seemed like the wind and hard to talk about is called a name, right? And we say, oh, our culture is revolutionary or it's caregiver. And in those storylines, there's a rich blueprint to what are the themes of those stories. Let's talk about caregiver for a minute. An organization whose culture typed caregiver, we might immediately think of a place where people are a priority, where taking care of customers is a priority. So we see caregiver come up a lot for organizations who really focus on customer service, you know, and that's a key piece of the work that they're doing. But once you start to know what are these patterns and how can we validate the specific ways that these patterns show up in our organization, we have a blueprint. We have, you know, two to three archetypes that we can talk about in this organization that are going to become an inspiration for us in terms of, if we're talking about branding, for example, we know in a brand, we need the right words. So each of these 12 archetypal storylines might have a different tone. They may have different language choices to express the things that they're doing in their business. They may have a different color palette. They may have a different font that they select if they're a jester organization versus a ruler organization, right? Those those two storylines suggest very different output in terms of, you know, the physical elements, the public-facing elements of a brand.
Got it.
And then they can also, you know, start to tell us about internal things. Mm-hmm. You know, if I have an organization that scores really high in revolutionary archetypes. Another piece to know about them is that they have what we call both strengths and shadow sides. Mm. So just like real people, just like human beings, right? We have strengths, and a revolutionary strengths, you know, are really about breaking down systems that no longer work. Mm-hmm. We might think of Apple as a brand that has been very revolutionary. You know, we had a PC world, and along comes a Mac. You know, we had record albums, and we went to the record store and bought, you know, things on CDs and tapes and albums. And now suddenly I can carry my entire music collection in my pocket, right? They really have, as an organization, they carry a lot of this revolutionary breaking of systems and things. Mm-hmm. And yet the shadow side of a revolutionary, kind of the behaviors that they drag into the room with them that they're not even aware that they're doing, are kind of like, they can really rub people the wrong way. They can really, you know, not care as much about the people that are in the organization. And they may jump from favorites to favorites, like who's on board with what I'm trying to do. And now you're not on board, so you're no longer in. And so another aspect of archetypes and culture is really understanding how the shadow traits show up in your organization. And how can we plan and strategize in a way to, you know, be aware these things are here. How do they show up, and how can we create a process and a program or a system for keeping them in check or introducing another archetype that could help us overcome those shadows?
Yeah, I love that story. Thanks for sharing that about, you know, Apple, for example, right? The revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When people understand these archetypal stories, right, in the framework, it's like you shed this big spotlight on it for them. That's what I'm seeing as you're talking,
mm-hmm.
Where they get to say, oh, we didn't realize there was a downside to being this way, right?
Yeah.
And right. It's great that we are this way, but there's this underbelly, right? And so what do we want to do about it? So
right.
That it doesn't hurt our culture, right? That we can continue to build this really great culture and great company.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of it is about keeping things in balance. So mm-hmm. sometimes when we see these culture crises that we discussed earlier in the show, that shadow isn't in check.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you another example, a hero organization. I mean, these are the organizations that get stuff done. You know, I mean, they're inspiring, they're hardworking, they love challenge, which all sound like great attributes. But the dark side of a hero is that a hero culture is that they can burn people out really quickly because, you know, they never stop. They go, go, go.
Is that like an Amazon kind of culture? You know, hero where you're the go, 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 constantly inventing things, constantly doing things, right?
Yeah. And it could be, part of what's going on at Amazon. And there are, you know, another thing to think about with archetypes is, you know, say you're trying to hire and attract employees. There'll be some employees that really thrive in that kind of a culture. And there'd be some employees for whom, you know, and I've heard, I know people who have worked for Amazon who love it. But there are also going to be employees that don't fit. Mm-hmm. So another aspect to really archetyping a culture is helping people who might be considering employment at that organization discover whether or not there's a fit for them in that organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, you know, when you can make the culture more explicit in this way, right, through the stories, it's much easier for people to identify or not, it sounds like.
I think so. And I think that, you know, I think organizations have long understood the need to build, a brand, and they often hire branding companies and experts to come in and do that. I think something that's really an uptick right now is this concept of employment branding. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, you know, it's not just our customers and our, you know, the market that needs to understand who we are authentically, but we also need to tell that story to our potential employees. In ways that are going to be attractive to them. We're going to need to package that culture in an employment brand.
Interesting. Yeah, which probably didn't really need to exist right in years past.
Probably not. But today, you know, I think more organizations are struggling to find employees than customers. We hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that too. You know, people like we simply don't have enough people, right?
Right.
To do what we need to do. So everyone else is working really hard, right, in long hours because we literally can't find people with the skills or attributes we need.
Right. And employees are more concerned about cultural fit. Is mm-hmm. one of the things they're concerned about. And the other trend I think we see is like there's such great turnover. You know, we know the millennials are not necessarily loyal to a job for a long time. So there's a big cost to organizations in, you know, that constant churn of recruiting and replacing people. So it's another reason why I think that the organizations are more focused on what is the culture here, because if they can use that culture to attract the right people, and then more importantly, can you use that culture to keep them and engage them and make them really feel like part of the organization.
Absolutely. Right. The landscape has really changed in that way, right? It's much less of, you can, you know, if you don't like it here, you can leave to organizations really building relationships with employees, partly out of necessity, right? Like you're saying, with this employment branding, with being able to attract people, with making sure there's a fit. And then, as you mentioned, with millennials and other folks saying, if this isn't meaningful for me, or if this isn't a place I'm really excited and proud to work in, I don't know that I'm going to be here very long, right?
Yeah, right.
I'll find something else.
Yeah. And there's lots of statistics about how much that costs a company.
Yes.
Yeah. Big issue.
It's a big issue, right? And I think that's one of the, and from the culture work I'm doing, it's one of the, you know, bottom line always counts, right? Mm-hmm. It's a motivator to say, oh my gosh, wow, we need to look at this culture because we're losing a lot of money with our revolving door of people leaving, right?
Yeah.
And coming back in. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other really interesting applications of archetypes in organizations and organizational culture. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
You're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, here today with my guest, Cynthia Forsman, who is the co-founder of Culture Talk. And we've been having a really, really interesting, enlightening conversation about cultural archetypes and organizations and how those stories can really help companies understand their cultures in different ways. And I know, Cynthia, you've been talking a lot about what happens when cultures aren't working well or when companies don't know a lot about the archetypal piece of their culture. So what happens when this comes together for a company, when it really works well in their culture? What have you seen in terms of great outcomes?
Right. So some of the ways that we have been able to help organizations with culture using archetypes, I'll give you a couple of examples. Let's say that there's a company that is growing rapidly and they're entering a new market. We worked with a company that started out as a college textbook seller of, you know, those books we saw carry in our backpacks.
Right.
And as their industry shifted, they got into digital books and digital book delivery. And then as they began to work, they worked a lot in the K-12 market. What they found was that to sell the digital books, they really had to first go in and consult with the organization around their technology, like what was available at the school from a technology standpoint. So you went from hardcover hard books into consulting. And so sometimes making that shift in the business model means that we have to shift our culture around how we're going to do that. And we also need to shift the brand and the story we're telling about the culture and the work that we're doing. So that's an example of a company entering, you know, they're in a change environment and they need their culture and their brand really to keep up with them. So you can go in and you can sort of measure, where are we today with this culture? Where do we need to be in 2 years or in 1 year or in 6 months if we're going to keep pace with those changes? And you can look at it archetypally, you know, and you can look at archetypally, you know, the history of the organization as well as archetypally what's missing, what kind of energy and behavior and patterns would help us get to that new future reality. So that's one example. Another one is, you know, there's a lot of consolidation going on in lots and lots of industries today. Mm-hmm. We've all heard that, you know, the thing that can really, everything can look good on paper. But when a company is actually acquired, the thing that can really put a monkey wrench in it is two cultures that aren't aligned.
Mm-hmm.
We have a certified partner by the name of Karen Bundy, who was out here doing some work with us. And she talked about a client she worked with where a firm in Boulder, Colorado was acquired by a firm in Washington, D.C. And the one in Washington, D.C. was very hierarchical, large, had a certain decision-making style. The one in Boulder, Colorado was lean and nimble and flexible. And in fact, the whole reason the acquisition took place is because Washington, D.C. was trying to get some of that energy and bring it in.
Interesting. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But little things backfired. So for example, somebody in Washington, D.C. was sort of, doing some accounting and budget minding. And they said, we can't give out water. Let's get rid of the water that we're giving out. And the people in Boulder were like, revolting over, displacement of water coolers. Mm-hmm. It's an example of how culture creates expectations. And when you're bringing cultures together, those expectations aren't going to be aligned unless you can talk about them, unless mm-hmm. you can measure them and say, hey, we're alike in these ways, or we're different in these ways. And in these ways that we're different, we have to be aware of them. We either have to celebrate them, or we got to find a way to evolve them in a way that's going to work for the larger team. So another example in a merger of how we've seen people use archetypes.
Yeah, and I could see such an amazing application there, right? Your company overall is one archetype, and our company overall is a different archetype, right?
Yes.
And so I'm getting the sense it would almost accelerate that initial conversation, right, into the similarities and differences, and it's a neutral way to start having that conversation.
Yeah, the thing about archetypes is that there aren't any good archetypes or bad archetypes. So it's not like we're saying it's not a judgment on your culture. Mm-hmm. It's more just like kind of what is the quality, what is the quality of that through the lens of this story that I can talk to you about that's going to cause us, because all of the archetypes, if you put those 12 different archetypes in pairs, mm-hmm. You can find similarities between each pair, but you're also going to be able to quickly say, where are they going to be wired to sort of conflict? So I'll give you an example of two. If you have a lover organization and a ruler organization, mm-hmm. the things that work really well about those cultures coming together is they're both really concerned about appearances. They both, they like the appearance of I don't want to say the word wealth, but like power and people liking them. They care about their reputations. So those things they share, but in conflict with each other, a lover organization is really about harmony and maybe avoiding conflict. Where mm-hmm. a ruler organization, somebody has to win and somebody has to be in charge. So you can hear just like in that subtle example where they could, end up really not liking each other.
Right. Initially, it might seem great because of the ways that they're similar.
Yes.
And then as they got to know each other better, right? The need for harmony and the need to win would definitely come into conflict. That's a great example.
You just can't plan for things that you're unaware of. So, being able to measure culture, translate it into story patterns that as human beings we quickly get and have a whole new language around it. I think that's really the magic of what we've got with archetypes and culture and what we're doing at Culture Talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And is there anything you'd like to share with listeners, like a next step they could take, or a pearl of wisdom, anything like that that you find you're often sharing with organizations?
Yeah, well, I would say this. Archetypes exist within individuals, so I have an archetypal pattern, as well as they exist within organizations. And I think that to be able to have a framework and a system, because we have a tool that also measures individual archetypal patterns. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to you know, culture is complicated. There's so many things that impact culture. You know, it's the individual people, it's the leadership style, it's the programs and processes that are in place. It's the market shifts we're trying to wind our way through. It's public perception. All of these are impacting culture. So to be able to understand, you know, archetypes help us on an individual level really understand, who am I? What is my personal brand all about? And on an organizational level, they help us understand, who are we? When we all come together, you know, what is the story of us that has our personal thumbprints all over it that we're proud about and we can own and massage and maneuver? I think it's really making work more human, you know, as we continue into the future of the workforce and people wanting to be involved in things that are meaningful and with organizations that are meaningful and authentic. I think this kind of system really gives you some tools to get at those hard to have conversations. I heard someone recently say the soft stuff, the human side of the business is, and the culture side of the business, it's really the hard stuff. It's the hard stuff to get right. And I think this could help.
Absolutely. It is the hard stuff to get right. In some ways, it's the most important thing that we do, right, to set the stage for organizational success. So Cynthia, I want to thank you so much today for being part of the show and sharing this really, really helpful and fascinating information with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. As always, we had a great time. Please join me the second and fourth Fridays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. So have a great week, and I'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.